I know what this is. I know what's happening. And I know what's at stake.
I don't think you do, Doctor. But I promise before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Your Father Christmas, you're real.
Welcome to The Fan and the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
And welcome to our latest episode.
Merry Christmas, our first... It's not Christmas themed, but it's in the month of December, so it has Christmas music, and Merry Christmas.
Go get yourself a tangerine.
See, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay.
What about Happy Easter?
Ooh.
I only know that because it's in the song that I made for the Christmas episodes.
Happy Easter?
He says to who appears to be Father Christmas, I know the stakes, I get blah blah blah, what this all means. And then the Santa man says, listen, Doctor, before the end of this being done, I will have helped you. And then he goes, Happy Easter, sarcastically, and I sense a little chuckle.
Yeah, so for everyone who's already disappointed how we've started. I showed Alex the first bit of the Peter Capaldi Christmas special last Christmas so that he could do a Christmassy thing. No, this episode's called Last Christmas.
I gave you my heart.
It's not the whole name of the episode.
No.
And you've made a thing out of it, so I'm sure we'll see that at some point.
Yeah, I would play it for you now, but it's got a couple of things left to finish before we upload this.
Now, first of all...
Go ahead.
I have been seeing lots of those things pop up on my newsfeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized one popped up and it was talking about the Censorites.
Okay, that's a while ago now.
Yeah, and it said, I said... And sometimes I hear myself back and I realize I say really stupid things.
Mm.
And you know how we talk about how the Censorites don't like the dark? There's a line that I said, and I said, space is dark. But space isn't dark. Space has light in it.
Sure, but I thought you were going to correct something that was important to the narrative of Doctor Who.
No, I wasn't.
I don't care about science.
You don't care about science?
Not even a little bit.
I don't listen to science. It's a quote from Q&A.
Okay. As in the ABC show with politicians Q&A.
Yeah, one of them said, they were like, the science and this thing, and he said, I don't listen to science.
Oh. That's...
So it's okay if you say it, but if a politician says it's probably not okay.
Probably not okay.
Also, you might have already realized, I'm slightly tired, but we'll be fine.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
I had a staff Christmas party on Friday.
See, it is Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. It was very enjoyable.
Good.
But we haven't recorded an episode for a little while because I've been really busy marking things, doing report cards for kids who, like, you give them all this feedback and they just want to go, what's my grade? So if any students listen to this, read the feedback.
Yeah, you can pretend to learn something.
Pretend to read it, at least.
Make Mr. A an happy man. Antonioli.
So there was a bit of a gap between watching the last episode and watching this episode. So when I saw the start of the episodes we're about to talk about, yes. I was like, oh yes.
The thing fell. The Mr. TARDIS box.
Now before we get to today's episode, mm-hmm. We need to do the thing.
Ready?
There's two things.
Oh.
We'll do this one first.
Which one?
This one.
Is it Doctor Who?
Who?
Yes.
Perfect.
Perfect.
I think you'll get it quick, but I want two things.
Okay, I won't answer because I can see what it is already, but go ahead.
You know if it is Doctor Who?
I think it's a sonic screwdriver and that it is Doctor Who.
Okay, so I want you to tell me, describe it, and then tell me if you think it's Doctor Who, which you've already said, but then tell me what you think it's used for. It has a use.
Can I grab it?
Yeah, you can touch it. I mean, I was just holding it.
It has a use. I feel like we've just talked about it, but I don't remember.
Grab the silver bit and push up. No, yep.
Ooh. Ooh, it opens. I think it's multifunctional. I think it could be used as a weapon, and it also like opens doors like it's a key.
Yep. I mean as in the use of this physical thing.
Oh, here. I see. Because I've had one before and it was a Wii controller. This is different again.
This is different, yeah.
How do I put it back in?
Grab each four of those things and just push them in and then push down.
That scares me. I don't want to break it. Is it a pointer lighter? A laser light?
Where's the button for that?
I don't think it has a function. I think it's just a toy.
First of all, you're right, it is Doctor Who. Secondly, you're wrong. It's actually a stylus.
Oh, okay.
For a 3DS or a regular DS.
Right. So you can write on the screen with it.
Yeah, you know how I said that the Wii remote came with the terrible Doctor Who game?
Oh,
this
yes.
one came with the other terrible Doctor Who game.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's known for so many terrible games.
Now, I have now found it was on special because this is relevant.
Okay.
It's on special in the Nintendo Switch store.
Yes.
An okay Doctor Who game so far. I've played like two levels of it. It's called Edge of Reality, I think. It was originally a VR game.
Okay.
But it has voice acting from the 13th and the 10th Doctors. There's two Doctors in it.
But the actual Doctors?
Yeah, they're in it.
Oh, that's cool. Like, as in the people who voiced them?
They voiced them, yeah.
That's cool.
And there's other characters. There's, like, Daleks. Ooh. And there's lots of sneaking about and being like, don't get seen by that Dalek. And
Metal Gear.
Yep. Oh, well, there's no weapons. You don't really... You don't have any weapons. But you do have a sonic screwdriver. So you're like...
So it opens... It acts as a key?
It acts like a screwdriver.
But can it be a weapon? Like, does it shoot anything?
I think it's more to repel things. I don't think he can't really damage people with it.
Oh, okay.
But we'll see. We'll see that happen. Because at the start, it's like, oh, it can do a select number of things. And then it just kind of goes haywire.
With what it can do.
Yeah.
So does one of the iterations of the Doctor find it, make it, discover it, get given it, etc., and then it's with all the rest forever?
I think one of them just pops up.
Because I haven't seen it yet.
No, but you will.
So it's in the classic episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how new it was.
Some of them have it, and then some of them don't use it as well.
Just don't care about it?
No. Matthew's brief?
I have the segment. It is called Matthew's Brief Spoiler-Free Review of Current Episode.
Yeah, so since we watched... Because I went back and listened to the start of the previous episode to see where we're up to.
Oh, yeah.
And we were in the episode where they'd entered a planet that I didn't know existed. Remember, I said that phrase in a temple I also didn't know existed. You don't need to get this because...
Oh, that you didn't know. I thought you were talking about the Doctor.
Yeah, well, I guess the Doctor did...
The planet Dido. Oh, no, you're talking about the current episode. I thought you were somehow relating it to the stuff we were watching. And that,
no.
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Yes. And so I've seen a couple episodes since then. Great. Loving it. But tomorrow, the season finale's out.
Oh.
So of this miniseries, because it's like a 6-episode thing. And then I think there's a Christmas special later. Or a New Year's special, I should say.
Oh, okay, New Year's special.
No, we don't do Christmas anymore. We do a New Year's special currently.
Why?
I don't know. I'm sure Christmas will come back.
Literally, the shops are just Christmas right now. Surely it could be on a TV show.
That's how you'd make some money.
Yes.
I could buy the Doctor's Christmas outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nick Frost. Is it Nick Frost who's Father Christmas in that clip?
I don't know. I tried not to look at any of the details, remember?
Okay. So, the current episodes...
All I saw was...
Say,
oh,
everything's
yes.
been going great. Oh, there good. Was one with a village that had a Bobblehead McGee over there.
Weeping Angel.
Yep.
Bobblehead McGee.
And the last episode, there was big, like, Doctor... Big, like, continuity, who is the Doctor, origins kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I, some of it, I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure if this will fans will like this. I mean, I love it, but I think it will all depend on how the finale kind of brings it all together.
Okay, but can I ask you a question? Is it one of those things where the origin story is told numerous times and you don't know which one is the real version?
Are you saying it's a Joker situation?
Yes. I didn't want to mention that because I feel like I brought up the Joker a lot in our recent episodes, but basically, yes. Is it like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's difficult to say.
Why?
Because sometimes...
Don't you like Doctor Who?
Because I don't think we've ever really spoken about the, like, origin.
Well, we haven't seen it yet.
We just talked about how he left his home planet, really.
Yeah.
Or her.
Yeah, careful, Matthew. It's 2021.
I feel like we should change subjects.
Yes, right. We've done our two segments.
Ready? The Romans.
The Romans.
So, Alex.
Yes,
Matthew. Where'd we end up at the end of the rescue?
We had landed in a new place. We didn't know where it was, but the TARDIS was on the edge of a cliff and it fell.
Mm.
And that's where we pick up.
And now, follow-up question.
Yes.
Did they all survive that fall? And how did they get out of the box?
Well, if the show's not going to answer it, why should I?
Because I found that very interesting. So we basically just went from the box fell, and then a month passed.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So some trivia for you.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of this episode. Trivia, wow. There's not a lot of trivia, but here's a bit.
Go ahead.
This was written to be more of a comedy.
Yeah, I got that impression.
Than any other episode.
I hated it so much.
To the point where William Hartnell said, and the producer Verity Lambert, they were both just like, too much comedy.
Okay.
So they admitted, they're like, too far, Red Car.
Well, they learned from it, so that's good at least. And I'm being serious, I know that sounded sarcastic, but at least they took that away from it.
You can tell it was meant to be comedy.
Yeah.
There's several scenes where it's like, oh, they almost saw each other. And also...
like a slapstick kind of like...
yeah, and a bit of running around a building and being like, someone's chasing someone in a really creepy way.
Hey, isn't that funny? Barbara's being hunted down by a presumed sexual assaulter. Oh, comedy.
But he's the Emperor of Rome?
You know, there's a lot about this episode that I'm like, I don't know if I like the choices they've made with this episode, but we'll get to it.
It's historically accurate, though, isn't it?
That's part of what I wanted to bring up with you. But let's get to it.
I put at the start, welcome to the TARDIS, Vicky. She gets in the box and the box immediately falls off a cliff.
And then she's abandoned it for a month.
Yeah, oh, well, not abandoned for a month.
No, she hasn't seen it for a month since then.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
That's all I mean.
And she's bored.
Yeah.
She brings out pretty quick. So, the Doctor... Ian wakes up. This is the first thing that we really see. Ian wakes up and he's like eating grapes.
Can I just say, the Doctor, though, took a leaf out of Ian's book and had a magnificent fall when the TARDIS was falling.
Yes, all of the full acting was good.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't tell why he didn't notice that there were, you know, teetering on the edge.
Everyone else knew. Yeah. Noticed it.
I've put that they dressed up again.
Yes, costumes.
So they got some new clothes, and they've been there for a month. I put exclamation point.
That's how much they love dress up. The moment they could dress up, they're like, okay, we're not going anywhere for a month.
I just think that the month passing, I think it was done narratively to so that the Doctor and Vicky could have their good relationship
grow
within that month.
But see, that... I get that, but I feel like that's where good stories are, is how they develop that trust and friendship.
And I think they probably missed a trick, because lots of companions kind of just get in the box.
Yeah, what's in the box?
Because they're like, oh my gosh, I could go anywhere.
Yes.
And then they end up anywhere, and they go, oh, I'm now with a strange man. I don't even know this guy, really. And I'm suddenly in Rome. You know what I mean? Like, I think they missed, like, she could have just been like, you know, they have one of those conversations where she's talking to, like, the local. Like, where are you from, ma'am? And she's like, a long way away. She's like, oh, are you here with friends? And, not really, I barely know who they are. And then they have that whole, like, internal conflict thing.
Yes.
And then, yeah, they could have been that.
That's what I'm saying.
Instead, she's just bored for a month and now she likes the Doctor.
But that's where good stories are. Why did they skip that? I don't understand.
I don't know.
But I'll tell you something. I get the impression, based on the Doctor's insane behavior throughout the story arc, that now that Susan is gone, there is actually no family members or people who have been with him for a long time to hold him back now. Mm. He's just let loose.
He is. He's laughing a lot too.
Yeah, like the Joker. There are times where you're just like, this is a madman.
Yeah, but he's not. Yeah, he is a madman. But he's not, like, he's not evil like the Joker, though.
No, I don't mean it like that.
He's just a madman with a box.
Although, is he responsible for the burning of Rome?
Yeah, but he finds it pretty funny.
That's what I mean. He cackles evilly while watching.
I think that's more because the writers are aiming for a comedy.
Okay.
It's like, look, also, I feel like this episode doesn't really have, like, a... Like, normally they land somewhere and there's, like, a protagonist who's doing stuff. But they've landed in just regular Rome. And then they've gotten themselves into trouble.
Yeah, I think the closest to being a protagonist outside of the TARDIS crew is Tavius, kind of. But he's more of a side character. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's the closest they have to being a somewhat supposedly good guy who's trying to achieve something. But he's more of a side character. He's not a huge player.
And the Doctor doesn't really help his whole plan.
No, that's right. Because the plan was to kill Caesar.
To kill Nero.
Nero.
Caesar Nero? Isn't that his name? Caesar Nero?
I thought it was Nero Caesar.
Oh, we'll find out as we scroll down.
I can't remember.
So...
Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Vicky and Barbara go to the markets.
And this little piggy stayed home.
And, yep, the Doctor did. And, they look at some fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a weird conversation with a woman who's like, check out this fabric. And then Barbara's like, how much is it? And she's like, I'm not telling you how much it is. How much are you going to pay for it? And then Barbara does the right thing and leaves. And then Vicky's all like, we should pay for it. But it's obviously like a different society. So they try to like... Barter instead of... So, yeah.
Because Vicky's from the future, right?
Vicky is from the future. 20-something, 26-something.
And so she's probably from, you know, a point where Earth is so transactional that there's no more bartering. It's just like, this is the literal value of this item.
Yeah.
She doesn't even understand the concept of trade and, you know...
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But of course, they do that for 2 minutes and move on. We don't get to see
that kind of thing. But two other men rock up. And they talk to that woman. And they want information about Barbara and Vicky.
Because they like what they see.
So I have a few problems as we go through this episode.
Because
I was like, alright, so they're looking for like slave labor. Because the episode is called The Slave Traders.
Yes.
So they see the two of them, and they go, we'll take them. They haven't seen Ian or the Doctor, but they pay for information from this woman.
Who was selling the fabric.
Who's selling the fabric. And she's like, they're staying at a villa, the four of them, at a villa that's owned by some guy who's away. And yeah. So they just assume that they're friends of his. How did they find... Did they just stumble into that villa and it was abandoned while the guy's away?
Well, see, I thought the whole idea was that arrangement was made during that month with that guy and then he left. Because it's never... We never find out. It's not like they just snuck in and decided to live there. They don't really explain it.
No.
It's a bit weird.
So, there's that good arrangement. Vicky and Barbara leave.
Yeah.
And so does the liar player.
Yes.
And he's walking down the road.
And he's just a regular old man.
He does look remarkably like the first Doctor, though.
Yes.
As soon as I saw his hair, I was like, something's going to happen here.
See, I didn't pick up on that at all.
It's just got here that he's killed by a sinister man.
Yep.
That's it. A sinister man who doesn't have a tongue, by the way, apparently. I learned later.
He doesn't?
No, he doesn't.
What do they say? I don't remember that.
He doesn't speak. He does the whole... I'll find it for you.
No, what are you going to say something? He does the whole what?
Like when he tries to talk to the guy in charge of him. What's his name? I can't remember his name. It'll come up. But this guy's...
There it says, sorry. They spoke of London and have been in the area for the last month, house-sitting for Flavius Giscard, who was away campaigning in Gaul. So that must be a real historical person. But did he actually ask them to house-sit? Or is he just like...
I don't know if he's a real person. It looks like he's just a character in the show.
Same as Tavius. He's not a real historical character either.
No. Alright, so Barbara and Vicky come back. That old man gets killed, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, old man.
And Ian's like, why are we still here? Shouldn't we go to the TARDIS and fly out of here? Like, it's been fun. We've had a like, nice, relaxing holiday. It's probably the longest period of time that they've stopped somewhere.
Yeah.
Without some kind of disaster happening.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, no, I'm going to Rome. And
he's annoyed that they even ask about it.
Yeah, I put this here, typical doctor mood swing.
Yes.
He just kind of goes, whoa, and just does like a completely different... He's like, stop it. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm going to go to Rome, and he takes some of the food. And Vicky's like, can I go with you? And he's like, sure. The other two are like, can we go as well? He's like, no, you just said you wanted to stay here. Like, this is where the comedy stuff starts coming in.
In inverted commas.
Because they have a weird roundabout conversation about why they're not going back to the box, what are they like about here. And the doctor's then like, well, I'm going to go to Rome. And you said you like it here, so you're staying here.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, we'll come. And then the doctor's like, well, you think I'm not going to be safe, so you can find your own way there.
It's really... They're parts of the narrative are really weird this time.
So, the doctor and Vicky leave.
Yep.
And Barbara and Ian stick around. Okay, so we'll leave them to stick around for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'd left something out. You might have to edit it and put it back in. You know, back in the markets?
Yeah.
The very last shot of the camera moving?
Yes.
And it stops on a statue?
Yes.
I was like... Because I've just seen an episode with the Weeping Angels, I was like, it just looks like a Weeping Angel.
It made me think of that. Yeah. Even though I've never seen him in the show yet.
And because it was so clearly in front, I was like, someone could write a short story or something about that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Where it's like, this Weeping Angel keeping an eye on medieval? Not really medieval.
It observes the First Doctor.
Yeah.
Or the crew.
Ooh, maybe they're from that secret organization. Anyway,
Ooh, I don't know anything.
So, Barbara and Ian, they're just relaxing, and some people come into the villa, and they're like, you're coming with us. Where's the other two? They've left. They have a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Ian, again, does quite a good job of fighting them.
Yes.
Until...
The woman who I've been calling a hero this whole time is too much of a hero.
And she grabs a pot. She goes to hit one. Now, I actually think it was choreographed really badly.
Yes.
Because it just looks like she grabbed a pot and then just hit Ian over the head with it.
Yeah.
I put, why did she hit Ian? And later I figured out that was an accident.
Yes. Because
she grabs a pot and she just goes at Ian. But the other guy's there. Like, if she'd taken a swing at the other guy, and then he'd moved.
Yeah.
And then hit Ian.
Or somehow they twisted around, so Ian was then on the other side where she was pulling the jar down.
And that will end up having a very interesting conversation at the end of the last episode.
Yes.
So...
Because in a way, Ian is right with that conversation.
Yes.
But we'll wait.
Now, the Doctor and Vicky.
Yep.
They're outside.
They're travelling down the road to Rome.
They're going to Rome and the centurion... They discover a dead body, the old man.
The old man with the lyre.
The lyre. And the Doctor picks it up and he's like, oh, it's a lyre. And she's like, oh, Vicky's like, oh, poor old man. And the doctor's like, oh yeah, he's been killed.
It's pretty flippant about it.
And the Centurion rocks up and he's like, I'm looking for, now I wrote his name down. And I got it wrong the first time.
So what did you write?
I wrote Maximus Brutus or something. Cause I didn't hear it the first time.
Petulian.
That's Maximus it? Petulian.
See, I watch with the subtitles, so it just comes up for me as they talk.
That's cheating.
Yeah, it's cheating to understand the show properly.
So the Centurion states that the lyre player was supposed to go to Rome to play for Nero.
Yep.
And the Doctor is like, I can be that man. Even though he doesn't really know his name.
Or how to play a lyre.
Or how to play a lyre, which isn't a problem apparently later.
Yeah.
I've got lots of things to say about that. So, the Centurion's like, alright, well then let's get going. And the Doctor's like, well, Vicky comes with me as well.
Yeah. He doesn't call her Vicky though, because they'd be like...
No, he says, doesn't he just say, young girl, come along?
This young girl comes with me or something. Yeah. Like a attendant or something.
I thought it was funny. This is at the very end of the episode when we go back to Ian.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to escape. I mean, poorly. But him and Barbara, they're chained to a cart.
Yeah.
And he's trying to escape. And one of the guards comes over and he's like, don't you try and get out of here. And then he slaps Ian. But it's like a real... It's just like a little tap on the cheek.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
I liked when... the Doctor and Vicky were talking to that Centurion and he's explaining who she is and he says, oh yes, she keeps an eye on all the liars. And it's like,
oh yeah, I've got that as well.
Budum tish.
Oh yeah. He's just his own in joke.
Comedy.
And Vicky's like, oh, it's a lot funny.
Oh, we're in a sitcom for some reason today.
Yeah. So the Centurion then talks to the assassin who was supposed to kill the Doctor. Oh, sorry, supposed to kill the old lyre player.
Yeah, which he had done,
but he couldn't really explain himself. Now, the way he spoke, because it's not here.
Okay.
But...
By here, you mean it's not on the TARDIS
wiki. It's not on the TARDIS wiki, but the Centurion says, if you fail me again, you'll lose a lot more than your tongue.
Oh,
so okay. I think he couldn't explain himself. Who is he didn't have a tongue?
So you've answered a question for me, because when the guy says, okay, now kill him for real this time, and then suddenly he looks and it's the Doctor, who's obviously a different person, yeah. I was like, why doesn't he say anything? But you've explained it. There you go.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, because I don't know why I missed that, but...
You can do that thing where you cut all of this bit out, right?
Yas, queen.
Fail me again, and you'll lose more than your tongue.
Okay, I'm going to explain myself. You know how the episode, right at the beginning, we see him in the woods?
Yeah.
The guy who kills the old guy? I thought, this is just some savage dude. And so, I didn't even... to me, when he's there going, because he can't talk, because he has no tongue... I thought he was just some guy speaking gibberish because he's not very educated and he lives out in the woods.
No, I think he just doesn't have a tongue. He has no tongue.
Yeah. That makes way more sense. I was like, what the hell is wrong with this guy?
Now, before we get into the next episode,
yes,
maybe because I'm sleepy, but I forgot something else.
Go on.
But Ian and Barbara have quite a nice moment where she does his hair up for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, aww. Like, she was like, you really look Roman. And he's all like, thank you.
He really did. He looked a lot more like he belonged there. When she brushed the hair forward.
Yeah, hair forward.
And I wrote, Barbara's found herself a man that she actually knows for once.
Oh, yeah. And isn't, like, creepy.
Yeah.
Until the last bit of the last episode. Yeah. Not really creepy. It's just a bit weird, that's all.
Is it creepy, though, if Barbara likes it?
Is it creepy if Barbara likes it? I don't know. Okay.
I'm just saying, we'll get there, but I did think exactly the same thing as you, but she seemed to be like, I'm used to strange men.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. And I'm used to strange men. Let's do this. Anyway.
All right.
All roads lead to Rome. Mm-hmm. Episode 2 of 4.
Yep.
Wow.
Let's get to Rome.
What a creative
Everyone,
title.
Hold on to your butts. We're going to Rome. I was trying to sneak in my catchphrase.
Don't get out of line. We've gone the right way for a jolly good snack, Bob. All roads lead to Rome. How creative. I wonder where they came up with that title from.
It's probably a phrase.
Hmm.
So
maybe
the doctor can fight.
Yes.
I mean, we saw him fight with a cane that time.
Yeah, but this feels different.
He was really timing his dodges really well.
Yeah.
It's like a quick time event.
This was like a Street Fighter level of...
Yeah.
Hadouken!
So the guy walked... The assassin walked in to kill the doctor holding a sword. And the doctor... kind of... dodged him and pushed him and hit him with a jug.
Yep.
And then just throw it through the blankets at him to kind of, I guess, disorientate him. And then once the guy had been hit in the head, he wasn't so...
aggressive.
Yeah, well, he couldn't... He obviously was a bit dazed, so he was just swinging his sword around.
Yeah.
And then Vicky sprints in, and the guy jumps out the window.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. I mean, can I just... This guy's hired this assassin?
Yeah.
Like, awful.
Yeah, this old man... Well, he doesn't know that he's some alien creature that's been around forever. But presumably, he's like, how is this old man, first of all, come back to life? Second, doesn't look anything like the guy I thought I killed. And third, is fighting me like he's 20 years old.
Mm.
And I have no tongue. I can't explain this to anybody.
And the doctor... Well, yeah, maybe because William Hartnell has a lot of energy now, because he realized how popular the show is, but he's moving about.
Oh, yeah. Even in the way he talks now.
He's loving it.
He's loving it.
And he does all the little, see? You know, like...
yes.
And you what's the thing he says? He's like, of course I knew that would happen. Mm-hmm. Like, he's all like... Every time that something unexpected happened, he's like, I knew that would happen. I've planned it this way. I foresaw this, that kind of stuff. It's like, ugh. Right.
Question for you.
No.
As a Doctor Who fan, the Mr. Who man doctor, you love all the things?
Yeah.
He says,
exactly
I'm...
exactly what we say.
Anyway. The Doctor says that he's the best fighter. And that he's trained other people how to be a good fighter.
Mm.
Now, is he being sarcastic? Or is Doctor Who actually a good fighter?
Who can tell?
Well, you can, because you've seen a lot of the show.
Different doctors have different, like, attributes.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I guess in this incarnation, he can.
Right.
The third Doctor's a pretty good fighter as well.
Yep.
The 10th Doctor's a pretty good sword fighter.
So it's kind of like...
The 11th Doctor's pretty good with a gun.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's not a skill he employs often.
But he can.
But he can.
Let me put this in the nerdiest terms I can possibly think of. You ready?
Yeah.
So this is not an RPG where your stats continually build. This is like when you reset the game and all your stats are randomized every time.
I would say his intelligence remains the same.
Okay.
And all other factors change.
Okay.
So his, like, ability to be charming or...
Skilled with fighting. It all changes each time.
Yeah. So sometimes he'll change and he'll remember that he can do those things... But his new
iteration
can't actually do them very well.
That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
So sometimes he'll do something and he'll realize, oh, I can't really do that anymore.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's really interesting. I'm glad that they explore that in the story, because that would be interesting to look at.
There's a moment with the 12th Doctor where he's... in a bit of a pickle, and so he remembers the third Doctor is very good at fighting, like very good at fighting,
right?
And so he employs one of the same movements as the third Doctor, But it's not something that would immediately come to his mind. I think he's just like, I can do this, I think. And then so he just, he can kind of call upon it in a pinch.
Right. But it's not natural to him.
Yeah.
As it would be previously.
Yeah, to a different doctor.
Interesting.
Whereas some doctors panic very easily. Second doctor, get ready for that.
I've already seen what he looks like. I don't know if I want to be ready for that.
I don't think you should judge him how they look. Because if I judge him how they looked, the sixth doctor's outfit is just the worst.
I suppose we'll comment on it as we get to it. But I really like William Hartnell. So I'm already like, oh. The second guy looks
he's
boring.
He's only in the very start of the next season too. We don't have that many stories left with Bill.
Billy Bob?
We call him Bill outside of the TV show. Bill Hartnell.
Billy.
Because Bill's short for William.
Yes. Well done. Obviously. Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Well, Will is as well.
We get enough time. Anyway.
What about Liam? William?
I don't think they called him Liam.
I reckon his mates went, hey, it's Hardy. You know, for Hart. William Hartnell, Hardy. You know?
What are we doing?
You started with the names. Anyway.
Vicky seems more chilled than Susan, I put.
Than Susan?
Yeah, Vicky seems more chilled than Susan.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were comparing her to Barbara.
As a companion, she's not as like, I'm a grandfather. She's more like, yeah, I guess we'll do whatever.
And she gives him back a little bit of his own sass sometimes.
Yes.
I'm going to make a very bold statement that might offend people.
Mm-hmm.
In almost every conceivable way, she's better than Susan.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Which I know is really harsh, but I can't think of a way where I like Susan more.
Yeah, but I don't think that's Carol Ann Ford's fault.
No, I'm not saying it is.
I think that's the writers saying, you know, maybe back then that's what you would do. You just have, like, damsel in distress.
Yeah.
And that's who Susan was 90% of the time.
And in fact, it's Carol Ann Ford's doing that has made this character better, because she left because she hated playing that role.
And
so that's a changer for the next
Susan person. As a character, I mean, she's not in the show anymore, but she does still develop
right.
all the extended universe stuff
that we'll get to.
So much stuff. So Barbara and Ian, they're on their way to Rome separately.
Yes.
Because Ian's been bought.
Yeah, as a slave.
As a slave. So he's on a ship now. And Barbara is in a cell in Rome with a woman who's really sick.
Yes.
And
this is the longest they've been... Because I know we always go on about how they split up. This time it wasn't really their fault. But this is the longest they've been apart from each other.
It was still their fault.
Well, it was Barbara's fault.
Because the doctor was like, you guys find your own way to Rome.
That's true. He left them.
He left them.
Yeah.
He left us.
But this is the longest they've all been separated from each other. It's like days.
Yeah. And she's in jail again. They find themselves in jail. Like it looks like the same cell as from...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. French Revolution.
The Reign of Terror.
Reign of Terror.
Because I was like, is that the same cell? Because it looks like the same set. And to be honest, I don't think there's this much gang... Oh, there's still a lot of gang captured in modern Doctor Who.
Right.
But, like, maybe do something different.
Yeah, why does the same thing have to happen to them every time they're on Earth?
And also the Doctor, like, again, because if you remember in the Reign of Terror, the Doctor put on an officer uniform, pretended to be someone more important. He's doing the same thing again.
Yeah, you're right.
He's now pretending to be a liar player, while both of his, like, the adult companions are in, like, jail cells separately.
Deep doo-doo.
And Susan was in trouble in the Reign of Terror, but Vicky isn't so much.
No.
But it's still eerily similar.
Yeah, I didn't think about it at the time, but you're absolutely right.
So I found this, and then my next episode notes are literally just like, nothing happens this episode. Because I think I got a bit bored. I was like...
And then Conspiracy won?
Yes.
Which is funny because we miss a whole month of character development. And then they have...
Got to this bit. We skip character development.
We skip character development, but we have one of a four episode story arc where not a lot actually happens.
Yeah. So, Barbara in her cell, this is when we meet Tavius.
Yes.
So, Tavius is an advisor or works for Caesar Nero.
Yep.
And he notices that Barbara's a very caring person. And so he's like, well, we need people like that. Rather than becoming like a terrible slave, you can come work for me.
Yep.
And so, doesn't buy her then in the cell because she's going to auction.
Yeah, they won't let him.
Yeah, so... She does go on auction. This is where the comedy stuff... Look, I don't understand. So, the comedy... I just put my hands into my face in my head, sorry.
Well, you can't see that, but Matthew looks... what's the word?
Defeated.
Defeated, disheartened, giving up on life.
So this
head
is,
in hands.
This is written like a comedy. So, the Doctor and Vicky are in the square where the auction's going to happen...
Yeah. Just before you go ahead, this is a comedy part about a slave auction. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the Doctor and Vicky are in, like, the main town square or something.
Yeah.
And there's... one of the slave traders is, like... starts doing a big announcement, like, come check out these slaves or whatever.
Yes.
And the Doctor's like, oh, we'll get out of the way then. So it's shot so that as the Doctor and Vicky leave, Barbara walks up on stage and it's supposed to be like, oh, they've just missed each other.
Yeah.
But Barbara looks awful. So it's like, oh, she's still... It's like, it's not... It's in the story notes. It's written as a comedy.
Yeah.
But it's awful.
Yeah. It's pretty weird.
It's like... Was this funny back then? Did people see the Doctor exit the screen and then Barbara Rook and they went, oh my gosh, they just missed each other. Where she's about to get sold off to as a slave.
Yeah, and the Doctor leaves because he's like, ooh, I don't want to be here for this. See ya. That's the comedy.
And then she gets bought by Tavius.
Yep.
I don't think we see the auction play out, but that's what happens.
We do.
Do we?
Someone starts off at like 500. And he says, come on, mate, let's get real about this. If this was in Australia, I guess he'd say that.
I got up and got the coffees, I think.
And someone else said, oh, I'll give you 2,000. And then a Tavius guy says, 10,000. And everyone's like, so much money.
And then she's, I guess, grateful.
She realizes.
Yeah.
So he's not a bad guy.
You know, I can't let you go because slavery, you know, that's a thing here. So... You have to be a slave, but at least you're in this nice house.
Yeah.
With this empress. So...
And emperor. Let's not forget him.
Yes. So, we'll get back to them, but let's cut to Ian.
Yes.
So, Ian's, like, in a ship, and they're rowing. I reckon they could have taken that guy right from the get-go. Where are all the other Romans? Are they up on the deck?
It seems like it. So the guys rowing are being guarded by someone.
Yeah.
And
someone. They could take that guy.
Yeah. But Ian's made friends with a guy called Delos.
Delos, yep.
And they plan to somehow escape. So Delos pretends...
Look, you say plan to escape, but they haven't. They don't have a plan.
There's no plan. But Delos pretends to be hurt and or dying.
I thought he was actually hurt.
I mean,
because they were in a storm.
No, this is before that.
Ah. Oh.
They make an attempt the first time where he pretends. The guard comes over to see if Delos is okay, and then Ian tries to grab him.
Yes, no, I remember that.
And the guard pushes him back and says, "You have to do better than that, mate." Sorry, this is if he was in Australia again.
Yeah.
On your tiger.
Ian should have taken him. We've seen him fight.
That's true. He's.
Although Aztecs are more recent. This is further in the past, isn't it? I think Aztecs are more recent.
I don't know.
like where they landed in that time.
But Ian, for him, it's in the past.
Yeah.
And he's fought like a tiger warrior dude.
Jaguar warrior?
Jaguar warrior, that's it. It was one of the big cats, you know. But then you're right, then there's a shipwreck situation.
So there's a storm, everyone's rowing, and the guy in charge is like constantly being like, row harder, row harder. And then he falls on top of them. He falls into the where the rowers are, and they all just jump on him, and then the ship kind of collapses. Those were actually a collection of like cuts between rough seas, lightning, and like the ship breaking apart, which I think was very well done.
Yeah, compared to what's coming up, I thought that was it looked really good.
Compared to what's coming up.
There's some footage they do similar that doesn't look very good.
No.
But you're right. So there's a big storm happening. So the reason the guy falls is because the ship's going back and forth.
Yeah.
In the middle of this storm.
I put good ship sinking effects.
Yes.
And I put Ian has been knocked out quite a few times now.
Yes, he has.
He has. So I wonder how he's...
Just in this story arc alone.
Yeah, but I think he's been knocked out a lot. His head has taken a few knocks. And so I was just like, I wonder how he's... And all that's going up there.
The way he wakes up from them is always really unhealthy. Because what he does after being knocked out is he wakes up, has a sudden jolt, and he's like, where am I? What's going on? And it's like, dude, just relax. Your brain is trying to mend itself, you insane man.
It's like, you...
And then all the falling. He's done for.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to get the Muhammad Ali thing at the end of his life when it was like, you've been brain damaged from being hit in the face.
At 18 minutes, for some reason, I put weird music conversation. Oh, because the doctor has a weird conversation. So, Caesar Nero's turns up.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, I'm your lyre player. And Caesar Nero... I'm just going to call him Nero. He's holding piece of chicken or something.
Yeah.
And he's eating and he looks gross. Because he's like... got food around him and whatever.
Yeah.
And the doctor and him have a weird conversation about like... like, I'm a lyre player. He's a lyre player. You know, I couldn't play right now. You should play right now. And they're comparing instruments. And I was like, this is not anything. What's going on here?
Yeah. This whole story arc can be summed up with the three words that you started that with. For some reason. But, okay, this is where... okay, now can we start to discuss?
Okay, you do something because I need to show you something.
We both presumably have issues with the way certain people are portrayed on the show. Now, I understand that Nero Caesar, however you say his name, was a bad guy. There's no reason to give him any kind of, like, respect or whatever. But they portray him like he's this big, dumb idiot.
Yeah.
And I really don't think he was. I'm sure he was a bad guy and he did stupid things and he treated people badly. But I guess because they're trying to make this a comedy, he's like a big... buffoon to be made fun of, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, I think that's just because it's a comedy. So they're like, let's make this bad guy seem like a complete idiot.
But he's the bad guy. There's no threat there if the main bad guy is some dumb idiot.
Mm. And he's pretty dumb. Because we're about to see more dumb things that he does.
Yes, we are.
So I'm just going to show you this. So this is a production error. I'm sure of it. So... the doctor, this is just before they have their weird music conversation.
Yep.
So the doctor and Tavius. Tavius rocks up, and to Tavius, the lyre player has some plan to do something to Nero that he doesn't really know. But because the actual lyre player is dead, he's having this conversation with the doctor.
Yes.
Okay, so this bit.
What is it? Thanks, it was Battalion.
That's you.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I am Tavius. There was trouble, but I settled it.
Kill the Centurion.
What's happened?
He's in the Apoditarium.
The Apoditarium? What?
The Apoditarium.
Oh, really? Well done, well done.
Did you get all that?
Yeah. What was
this bit, where he's like, just watch, like, there's a little...
Battalion. That's you.
There's like a little pause.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I am Tavius. There was trouble, but I settled it.
Yeah.
What's happened?
He's in the adventure.
So he's waiting for William Hartnell to say his line.
Yeah, and William Hartnell's like, aren't you supposed to say something? And he's looking around suspiciously, because that's what his character is supposed to do, I guess. And William Hartnell's just like, looking at him.
I did notice two other things. They're not big things. One is you saw a boom mic.
There's a boom mic.
There is a boom mic. And the other one was, I don't know what it was. It's similar to the same era. Something came up from underneath the camera.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like a black box?
Yeah, I think that might have been just
some footage,
maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, well, geez.
And the other thing before we get to the next episode was I put Roma with double exclamation points because they did that thing again where they like do shots of around Rome.
And oh,
like, we are in Rome.
You know,
but
how
it looked
you
like
met
a set, though. It looked like little miniature sets. So, yeah.
You know how we met Caesar Nero? Well, we're in Rome. Okay, but before we get to the next episode.
Yep.
The footage of the lions and the tigers, that happens in this episode.
It does. So it's at the very end of this episode.
Yeah.
Because Ian and Delos, they've survived their shipwreck. They're on their way to Rome and they get captured. In fact, they get captured straight after Delos says...
they won't get me again.
Yeah, we won't get caught easily again or something like that. And they take two steps away after that conversation and there's merely two guards that are like, ah. So they get caught and then they're in a jail cell again and they're like, oh, we're going to make you fight for fun. Like, you're going to be gladiators. And they're like, what are we going to fight? And then there's roaring.
Yep.
And there's classic stock footage of a few lions.
And it honestly felt like the first footage they could find. Like, no thought put into it. The storm stuff, I don't understand, because the stuff with the storm looked really good. It looked like it was part of what was actually happening.
Maybe animals are more expensive.
Well, there's that baby alligator.
From the Dalek version of Earth.
Yeah.
So don't worry about the Daleks. Check out these alligators.
Well, maybe that's why the animal stuff is so bad. Maybe it was hard to get good footage of animals like that.
Yeah.
Because anyone can get footage of a storm, I guess.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying, as compared to lions, maybe there was
hardly
any footage.
I suppose you don't have to be
of...
anywhere in particular to get footage of a storm.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe they should have done it with real lions. Hey, they used a real explosive on that gun last week.
Yeah, but they don't care about Barbara. This is Ian and the Doctor. These are males.
All right.
As we've seen, even the Doctor thinks females are expendable. Oh, see you, Susan. I know you're my granddaughter, but you're annoying. Bye. Have a nice life with this man. You know, I know you're a young girl, but here's this 25-plus-year-old man.
Yes.
I don't know anything about him, but he seems okay. I'll see you later, love. I'll come back for you. And I presume he never does, but I don't know. So he lies to her, abandons her with a man.
Hmm. Anyway, that was a good rant. I liked it. So,
well, you've had enough rants about it, and I was like, well, this is how I feel about it.
The third episode,
the conspiracy.
We missed a little bit with the Barbara being introduced to Barbara being introduced to Nero, and his wife being all like, ugh,
because
this woman.
Nero did the same thing as those two guys before, and he was like, ooh, look at the Barbara.
Look at the Barbara.
Yeah.
And then Vicky is now friends with the poisoner.
Yes.
So that happened too.
There's a lady who's planning to poison people on behalf of... I wrote a name down, but I can't...
Papaya is correct.
Papaya. Anyway.
Yes.
Oh, before we move on, only because I wrote it at this specific point when I was watching the show.
Oh, sorry. Vicky has befriended the court poisoner, Locusta.
Yes.
There you go.
And she is like a person...
Yeah.
Her job is to make poisons for people.
Yes.
Now, question.
Yes.
I only thought about this at this point into the episodes. And I think I know the answer, but I want you to answer it. Why are they all speaking English?
Oh, haven't we already had that conversation?
The TARDIS. Yeah, but
translation circuit.
Yeah, but that has not been explained. So wouldn't people watching this at the time when it was live go, they're speaking English? This is
yeah, but then they answer it later. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
No, go on.
They answer that later. I'm sure people were thinking that.
But I guess it didn't really matter.
No. Also, they're not going to explain that every episode. In one episode.
Plus, I suppose, imagine, that would be the end of the adventure, wouldn't it? They land somewhere.
Well, I don't know what you're saying. We're leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, these people are speaking some weird language. Let's get the hell out of here. And then there's no plot with the Romans. It's just like, we're gone. So that makes sense. Anyway.
Okay, episode 3.
Now, do you think this episode is called The Conspiracy because it's a conspiracy by the writers that this entire episode has no point? it's an inside joke.
I put... My notes get fewer and fewer as we go on, but...
Is when I realised they're trying to make this a comedy, because at first I didn't realise...
Is this the one...
This is the one with the...
The chasing?
The chasing and the musical instrument, I believe, as well.
Okay, so Nero... I've got at the start that Nero is a bit of a grump.
Yes.
Because he's all like... I don't know... Annoying. But at the two-minute mark, I've got the Doctor saying to Vicky that we must not interfere. Like, this is the most interfering you've ever done.
Yes.
You've literally inserted yourself into quite a historic event.
Yep.
So maybe shut up?
And also, there's been 1.5 seasons of you interfering.
Yeah.
Like...
You know, this is what you do now.
Yeah.
Interfere. He should have just said, don't interfere too much.
It's weird because the Aztecs, he was so set on explaining to Barbara, we can't save these people because you don't want to mess with history.
I do think, and this is where things get deep again.
Yeah.
But the thing that comes up, that will come up more, is there are certain things that you can interfere with, and then there's certain things that you can't interfere with.
Okay.
So, he, apparently, even in these episodes, you can tell, can seem to tell a difference between I can interfere with this event, and I can't interfere with this event. So maybe he knew that in the Aztecs story...
That was going to matter.
...that you couldn't mess with that point of time.
Mm-hmm. Can I just quickly say, there is one bit of comedy that I thought did work for me. Are you ready?
Just one.
Yeah, just one. Literally just one.
Yeah.
Everything else sucked. I hated it.
Jeez.
And it was when Nero was talking to one of his underlings, and one of them, I don't know if it might have been Tarvius or someone else, said that there's some intrigue going on. And he said, what do you mean? I'm always informed of intrigues. And I thought that was a clever line.
Ooh.
Because it's like, you know, I'm always told all the secrets. I'm the secret man.
Yeah.
Everything else was hopeless and I hated it.
I put at 10 minutes is a great sword practice scene.
Yes.
Because the guys are just like, they're just doing some practice.
Left, right, left, right, left, right. That was it.
Yep. One of the guard guy walks in. I can't remember his name.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The guard.
And then at 12 minutes, I just have, what the hell happened in the sauna?
Okay, so this
they were both lying down, right?
Yes.
So they were both lying down.
The Doctor and Nero.
The Doctor and Nero were both lying down. I'm not sure if it was a sauna, but it looked like a sauna. They were wearing clothes like a sauna.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it actually says here. I guess the Doctor was there to try and be chummy with Nero.
See, I think what happened was Nero was asleep. And the Doctor knows that Nero's an idiot. What's wrong?
It just made a...
The Doctor knows that Nero's an idiot.
Yes.
So he goes when Nero's asleep and lies down next to him in the sauna so that when they wake up together, he can be like, oh yeah, we've been in here this whole time and now I want to talk to you about stuff.
Yeah, but then the guy walks in with a jug of water.
Yeah.
And tips it on him.
Well,
but tips it... Where on him? See, like, it just tips... It just looked very
what
weird.
What does it say here?
It says,
Oh, it doesn't explain what that guy did.
No, it says that... Yeah, so do you want to see it?
Yeah, but let me tell you what I think happens first before you play it. I think what happened was that guy's job was to come in and put hot water on the stones in the sauna to keep it going, right?
Yeah, but he didn't tip it on the sauna.
I think maybe the rocks were near where he was and it hit him on the feet by mistake and that guy got annoyed about it. I reckon the rocks are at the end of this guy's bed.
All right. Do you want others to do that muted?
Sure.
So there's his legs.
Oh, why are you looking at that?
Towel.
Why are you looking at that?
And then they're side by side.
Yes.
Their heads are right beside
each
other.
As you often do in a sauna, is lie head neck, yeah, next
I mean, not... And towels? Like, they look... Just straight on him.
What?
Straight on him!
I don't know what he was trying to achieve with that.
See? Just put this on for a second, ready?
Do it.
They're both sleeping. Like, it's not like it's too dark and he's like, oh, what's going on here? He's just straight up.
I don't understand.
No,
and also, why are they portraying Nero like this? Like, he's just some insane old... lunatic.
I need to learn more about who he is.
He's not the... Yeah, from Doctor Who.
So, what the hell happened to the sauna?
You sound so exacerbated by this.
The poisoner, Lacosta, has been told by the Empress to poison Barbara because the Empress is jealous of Barbara.
Yep.
And so she's like, sure, I'll get things ready. She gets some cups ready and Vicky swaps them.
Yep.
So we do a bit of a cut ahead, I think. And the doctor's talking to Vicky and Vicky's like, oh, by the way, I've poisoned Nero. She just says it so like, and she was like, oh, but they were going to poison some innocent woman. So instead, I've killed Nero, basically. Yeah. So I thought that was funny.
And the doctor freaks
like,
out.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we can't, you know, you can't mess with time like that.
Now, can I ask a question really quick?
Yeah. Pompeia is the Empress.
Yes. I'm guessing it's part of the comedy, but as people are explaining something evil about to happen, they look at the camera directly. Did you notice that?
I think that's just mainly this episode's thing.
Well, I didn't know if it was a mistake, because she does it first, Pompeia, and then I thought it was a mistake, and then I realized after Caesar does it, and then after someone else does it, I was like, oh, this is meant to be funny. It's like a character looks at the camera and it goes, mwah, mwah.
Yes. So Tavius... Tavius tips the doctor often about he's going to be asked to perform.
Yep.
And then Nero tells the doctor about the performance. And it was like, great. And so we get to the performance. All this while, by the way, Ian and Daedalus are still in jail.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, being trained as gladiators. They're going to fight each other. But I honestly... Okay, so there's a group of people there for the doctor's performance. The doctor takes the lyre and sits at the main position for people to watch. And I honestly thought something had happened to my sound.
Really?
Because I was like, I can't hear anything.
Well, this is why you should watch it with subtitles like me, because in brackets it said silence, so that you knew you're not meant to be hearing anything.
No, but I need subtitles.
But there was literally, it wasn't like you could hear people, a little bit of rustle, it was just dead silence.
Yeah, I thought I could hear like a little bit of like... You know what I mean?
Rubble, rubble, rubble.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So he just... and that was like a good minute
as well. It was a long time.
It felt like a long time, because I was like, Do I need to stop this and reconnect?
So we should explain.
I was like, should I disconnect from my Chromecast and reconnect and see if that fixes my problem?
The Doctor is pretending to play, and he has said to Nero, only the most sensitive and specialized listeners of music can hear the notes of this delicate melody.
Yeah.
And then he pretends to pluck at, is it a harp?
It's a lyre.
Oh, sorry, a lyre. I don't know why I didn't know that. I've been calling it that. But he's clearly not.
And everyone's just like, yeah, this is good.
They're pretending they can hear it.
Yeah.
And the doc, but see, it kind of makes sense because the Doctor explains to Vicky.
I understand why it makes sense, but it's also ridiculous.
It's the Emperor's New Clothes thing.
Yeah, I know. I heard him say that.
So it kind of makes sense. Which he claims to have given to Hans Christian Andersen, the idea of the Emperor's New Clothes.
Yeah, that comes up a lot too. Not this specific thing, but a lot of times where he's like, that was my idea, someone else has done it.
Well, so was the burning of Rome, apparently.
Apparently. Ian and Delos are going to fight each other.
You don't sound so excited. This is your favourite show.
So, Nero and Barbara are going to watch the fight. And the two men fight.
Yeah. And Ian gets into a lot of fighting. Just in general.
It was a good fight.
Yeah. I
enjoyed that fight.
Yeah.
Inferno. Last one. And there's not a lot to kind of talk about in this one. So, Ian and Delos, they've had their fight, and Delos, the Emperor is like, kill him. He does the whole thumbs down thing.
Yep.
And Delos is like, no, and tries to kill Nero with his sword.
Because as
a bunch of guards come in.
As they're fighting, Ian first gets the upper hand and has the opportunity to kill him, but doesn't.
Mm.
And so Delos realizes, well, I don't want to do the same thing to you, so they turn on Nero.
Yeah. And the doctor, Ian and Delos escape.
Yep.
And Barbara's still trapped there. So the doctor is having like a conversation with Nero. We didn't really talk about the chase scene. There's a scene where Nero chases Barbara around the castle, whatever, earlier, before he goes to the fight.
And it's very clear that this comedy part is about him wanting to do things to Barbara.
Oh, so
it's creepy. Really awful.
Yeah, it is awful.
But this is a comedy scene.
Which is why his wife wanted to kill Barbara.
Yes. Okay. Because they get caught, and it looks like Barbara's putting the moves on him. She doesn't realize that it's her husband being the creepy man, even though, of course, he's the creepy man. The other thing we need to mention before we continue with the narrative is that after the Emperor leaves the place where the Doctor was playing, pretending to play the lyre, everyone laughs, and he realizes that it was all a joke and that they've made fun of him.
Yeah.
So he now wants to put the Doctor in with the lions.
Yeah.
In the stadium to be killed.
But he's talking to the Doctor, though.
Yep.
In the last episode. And yes. He's all like, the Doctor hides his glasses behind him and is talking to, like, I guess trying to, like, reason with Nero, and then sets the plans of New Rome on fire.
Yes.
And there's a weird scene where he's like, you've ruined my plans, I'm going to kill you, to, you've given me a great idea, I love you.
I love the fire.
Yeah.
I will burn Rome now.
And he's just holding a burnt piece of paper. He's like, I'm going to burn this whole place down.
He's inspired by it. Because what he says is, the Senate won't allow me to build my new Rome, but if I burn down the old Rome, they'll have to approve it.
Yes.
So the implication is that the burning of Rome is thanks to the Doctor. But see, is it thanks to the Doctor, or was it going to happen anyway, and he's just kind of made it happen?
Well, you know. Who knows?
Who knows?
But the Doctor and Vicky, they get let go then. Well, yeah. they don't get told they can leave, but they do.
They told the guards to just leave.
Leave us alone. There's a great scene though where they're sneaking out through the garden, and the camera's on a guard's sword.
Yes.
And then it pans up to the guard. It's like, check that out. I was like, that's good camera work for the 60s. But then the guard just goes over and the doctor's like, we're just the doctor and Vicky. And he's like, oh, all right. And so they get away. They leave Rome. Meanwhile, Nero has found some people to burn the city.
Yep.
Some poor people. Because he's like, I'll give you money or whatever to burn the place down. And Ian and Delos are in that crowd. And Tarvius, I guess, recognizes Ian because he's heard about Ian from Barbara.
Yep.
And he's like, you're Barbara's friend, come with me. And Ian and Barbara are reunited. And they head back.
Yes.
And Delos, I mean, we don't see what happens to him, but we assume he gets out as well.
Because he says they're not going to let... He says the same thing as the guy on the boat. They're not going to catch me again.
Mm.
Well, hopefully you did better than last time that was said.
Yeah. Well, he said that. He is the guy from the boat.
So does he just keep saying it after he escapes? Because he's like, one day this will sound cool.
Yes.
And I'll get out of here.
Now, the last thing before... So, hang on. We're all heading back.
Yeah, but... During the conversation between the Doctor and Nero, did you like all the puns?
Yes.
Because the Doctor is making it clear to Nero that I know you're trying to kill me with the lions. And he says...
Oh, the roaring. That would be a roaring...
It'll be a roaring success.
Yes.
Something for me to really sink my teeth into.
Yes.
It might as well be my farewell performance. So let's get chewing over the facts of the situation.
And then that's when the paper's on fire. Yeah. And that's how he gets away.
Like, how is this comedy?
And Nero loses his mind, and he's like, I'll burn everything down then. Yeah. And even his wife is like, that sounds like a good idea. It's like, she's like, I've married a crazy man.
But she goes along with it, because he says, I'm also going to kill Barbara and all those girls. And she's like, good, I'll have you all to myself, because that's what I want. I want you all to myself. Anyway, they head back, Ian and Barbara.
Ian and Barbara get back first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they get back and everything's still broken on the ground, and Ian's like, Barbara's like, Ian's like, that's the pot that they whacked me over the head with. And Barbara's like, well, I guess you better clean it up then, because you've made this mess. And she accidentally tells him that she was the one that hit him with the pot.
Yep.
And then he like chases her. He's like, oh, it was your fault. And then chases her. Not in a like, I'm going to kill you because you've got me captured kind of way, but it was still kind of...
In a playful way. Rough way.
Yeah.
That's what I found weird about it.
And then she starts cleaning up and he just relaxes and kind of watches her.
I didn't like the vibes in this episode.
No, I think the comedy...
Because these are not random characters. These are characters that we'd like.
Yeah.
And they're making them do this stuff that was happening with Barbara and Nero. The chasing around and being weird.
And then the Doctor and Vicky come back and the Doctor doesn't... like, because they've never seen each other in Rome.
That's the comedy. They almost did.
They almost did a few times. Even the Doctor almost saw Barbara a few times when she was getting chased by Nero.
Yeah.
God, and then they all go back to the box.
And the Doctor thinks that they've been just slumming it there for those few days or couple of weeks, whatever it is. And that's the comedy.
I was sad.
okay, there's some redeeming stuff at the end, though. Okay. If we get past all the creepy, vaguely pseudo-sexual undercurrent, there's some interesting conversations between Vicky and the other members of the TARDIS crew. Do you want me to highlight them for you, make you a little bit more happy?
Yeah.
Okay. She brings up the thing that I've asked you about, which is...
Does he know what he's doing?
Yeah, is he surely he knows how to fly the TARDIS. And they're like, yeah, sort of. Like, that stuff worked.
Yeah, that did work. No, I did appreciate that.
And also the conversation she has with the Doctor about, you've just told me we can't mess with time. And look, at Rome's burning because of you. No one even realizes in history that it's because of you.
And he's like,
yeah, that stuff I like. That was good.
Yeah.
It ended better than how the middle of it was.
It's just a shame about the other 9% of the episodes. Sorry.
I thought it started okay.
Yeah, I guess. I just wanted to know the next story. It didn't start okay.
It started with, hey, there was a month of character development you don't get to see. Sucked in. Now watch two old men and have a sauna. and get annoyed at a guy pouring water on them. And we don't know why. We don't know if he's doing that to annoy Nero. We don't know if he made a mistake. It's not explained. Are you looking at what's going on?
Yeah.
The web yep. planet.
Alright, I think we need to score this. I'm gonna be honest with you, it's gonna get a lower score.
Me too. This is gonna be my lowest score so far.
It has some redeeming qualities.
The stuff we just talked about.
That's it, though.
Yeah.
I think... And look, this is sad because I'm a big Doctor Who fan. And the Doctor Who does jump from genres. But I have seen it jump from, like, a serious episode to a comedy. Like, that still happens in modern-day Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
And it can jump to a comedy and be really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's one with the giant wasp, which is pretty good.
Okay.
That I would score quite highly. I think I'm going to give it a 3.
Wow. Yeah, I get that. Because I... Well, let's see. I don't like how they portrayed Nero.
Yeah. Maybe, so you go. Maybe I'm being too mean because it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but...
You know what I mean? But stories could still be written better.
We've seen lots of good stories with these people. Are you sticking with a 3?
Yeah, I'm sticking to a 3.
Let's see, I don't like how they portrayed Nero. I don't like the weird stuff with Barbara being chased around, not only by the bad guy, but by one of the supposed good guys. I don't like the attempt at comedies. I don't like the fact that we finally get one of the historical events, because one of them was totally deleted. We missed all the stuff in season one where they lost it forever.
Marco Polo.
There was another one that was done pretty well, Reign of Terror.
Mm.
This one could have been really good and it was hopeless.
This just felt like a poorer version of the Reign of Terror.
Yes. And for all the reasons you said, it was almost like they copied parts of the storyline.
They're like, what if Reign of Terror, but what if comedy, you know?
And it's saying something when a storyline where half of it's in cartoon because they couldn't find the footage is better.
Yes.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay, so you're going to give it a Tom Baker.
Which
actually, if I said this episode's a Tom Baker, it probably would sound very good.
Because I know the name, which means he must have been a good doctor.
He
was a good doctor.
He owns that scarf. So, next episodes are The Web Planet.
Yes.
Which is 6 episodes long.
So we're going to do 3 and 3?
3 and 3, I think. I'd like you to focus on this one.
Okay.
And just tell me what's going on there.
Okay, well, obviously they're stuck on some planet, because it ends with them saying we're being dragged down by some force.
Probably a web.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was a web. I don't think it was a secret, because it immediately says the web planet.
Yeah.
It's a guy in a massive bee costume, which actually doesn't look bad. It looks quite good.
You can see his legs.
Yeah, but, okay, we'll see.
The 60s.
I didn't know if it was meant to be a bee or some bee man creature from another planet, so
it could be, yeah.
So you haven't seen
these?
I mean,
look at that one. Jeez, come on, B. This is gonna be good.
I'm gonna put that image up. It's the episode 21 image. Yeah, the person on the left doesn't look nearly as good as the one on the right does.
But, I haven't seen this one. I haven't seen the Romans either. The next one that I have seen is The Chase.
Is that an important one?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not far off.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we have 6 episodes of The Web Planet to get through first.
And then 4 episodes of The Space Museum. Okay. Which obviously, that looks like that belongs in a museum, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, William Hartnell. Yeah, he's a relic.
I
mean that in a nice way. Relics that have value. Anyway.
Should we wrap this up?
Unless you have any other trivias or random things you want to say.
Oh!
Because we had a little... I know you said there wasn't a lot of trivia.
Let me check the trivia, because I didn't say too much before.
I won't look at the screen.
This is the first story played for comedy.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Apparently. This is the second story in a row in which the Doctor is given a surprisingly physical fight sequence.
Yes.
He'll fight again. The title of the fourth episode, Inferno, is used as a title for an entire story for the third Doctor.
Can you go up? I saw something that was very cool. The Doctor's line about the mountain mauler of Montana was an ad-lib.
Ooh.
That's really cool.
Director Christopher Barry hinted that the story went overboard with the comedy, and William Hartnell and Verity Lambert thought so too, the latter claiming that the audience disliked the comedy.
Okay, so you know what that says? It's not just us looking back at an old show.
It's people at the time going like, nah, thanks.
This is awful. stick to what you're good at.
Production errors. When Barbara turns around to hug Ian after they reunited in Inferno, a long zipper is clearly visible down the back of her dress.
Why are they looking at the back of her dress like that?
The camera on the boat is hit by falling wood during the storm sequence. I did see that. This causes a wide white line to cross the screen.
You can also see the camera jut as it's being hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the third episode, you said this one, a boom mic drops into shot during the scene in which Nero and his wife pick out jewellery.
Yep.
During the scene in which Nero chases Barbara around, one of the studio lights is captured by the camera, causing a noticeable lens flare.
And that's not the only thing wrong with that scene, is it?
No. There's more than that production error.
No, I just mean what the scene was.
Yeah, that's, I know. That whole scene should be a production error. Yeah. In episode one, Didius, while talking to whoever that is about capturing the travelers, makes four attempts to put his sword in his scab, but I did notice that. In the fourth attempt, the actor realizes his mistake and puts it firmly in.
I didn't notice that. I'll have to put that in now.
Wasn't there one part where the Doctor's like, swords are sharp? To the Centurion. He says to the Centurion, he's like, swords are sharp, you know, you could hurt someone. And the Centurion goes, puts his sword away.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's nothing else there. There's some continuity stuff, but it's more about future episodes.
And look, I didn't hate this, but I'm a little disappointed because the stories have been pretty good so far.
Mm. And I wouldn't pick this episode to be like, hey, I love Doctor Who. Can you? And someone's like, what is Doctor Who? I'd be like, watch this episode.
It's really good. It has historical characters in it. Check it out.
Let's wrap up.
And you can say to them, it's a Tom Baker episode.
It's that kind of level.
It's a 4 out of 13.
Thanks for listening.
Yas.
It's nice to see when people listen, because we get our little play counter.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep up to date with episodes and things, social media, Facebook, Twitter.
Instagram.
YouTube.
Has more visual things.
Has lots of very good visual things. Watch the highlight videos, because they're really good.
Yeah, I'm condensing them down to just one video a week of all of that episode's highlights in one go, because I think it makes more sense and it's easier.
Yes.
So it's not a lot of stuff. So once a week, you can watch the highlights if you like.
Yeah.
Good times.
Anything else?
You can email us at thefanofthefool@gmail.com.
Yep.
You want to make fun of us, ask us questions, say something.
You can share the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud.
There's a link tree on all of our stuff that will take you to everything.
Yeah.
We'll give you a shout out if you email us.
Yeah.
And don't say something very horrible.
Like, you guys deserve a smacked bottom.
That is your catchphrase now.
Woo!
Woo!
That's going to be our my sign off. Ready?
Go.
Oh.
Listen.
Everyone deserves a jolly good smacked bottom.
Bye! Bye.
I don't think you do, Doctor. But I promise before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Your Father Christmas, you're real.
So I'm real. How do you think those presents got under the tree every year?
Be sure to save some room for a tangerine, Doctor.
You're a fairy tale. You're a fairy tale. You're a fairy tale. You're a fairy tale.
Before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Be sure to save some room for a tangerine, Doctor.
Nobody likes tangerines.